This podcast is produced by KPP Financial Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the April 28th edition of Invest Talk. It is Friday, last trading day of the month. So we're done with the first quarter. I mean, we've done with the first quarter last month, but now we're done with the first month after the first quarter, and we're now getting close to having the full earnings reports coming out, and they look pretty good this week. Have you noticed? This is our hour together. We talk about stocks, talk about anything financial. Anything you want to talk about financial, we'll discuss it. We're all about, Invest Talk is all about, you know, enabling the average investor to become above average. That's what we want to do. Try to give you some perspective and maybe help you better measure your results against your expectations and try to give you some more well-grounded decision-making processes. So what's your first consideration when you talk about investing? Is it risk? How much risk you want? That's why we're always, I know everybody wants to make money. We all want to make money. You don't have to even think about that. But when you're looking at an investment, besides the fact that you want to make money, what's your first consideration of that investment? Can you build a successful portfolio without being cognizant of how much risk you want or want to take? Risk tolerance. You know, we've talked about it for so much because it is so important. It will control you if you don't watch out. It will control your decision making, you know, and we all know fear and greed are what drives you. But if you let, the fear and greed is also related to risk. How much risk? The more risk you take, the more fearful you can become. So what's your personal risk tolerance? How much can you lose without you panicking out? It's as simple as that. How much can you lose? Because that's where the danger is. Not how much you can make, because everybody wants to make lots of money. But it's the downside risk that you need to think about. Does a risk tolerance change? Does it ebb and flow with the market conditions? Generally, it doesn't. Your personal risk tolerance does not usually change with the market conditions. That's why it's important to know what your risk tolerance is and make sure your portfolio matches that risk tolerance. It's not rocket science. So what's your typical risk tolerance? What is it? I talk to clients all the time and prospective clients all the time. And I can tell pretty quickly just by looking at their portfolios, if they're managing themselves, how much risk they're comfortable taking. It's really quite interesting. Some, of course, don't have a clue how much risk they're taking, but those who have an idea of what they're investing in and the riskiness of it usually reflects pretty quickly how much risk tolerance they have. So your risk tolerance is really, really important. And it does change over certain events in your life. Maybe when you get married, have kids, approaching retirement, your risk tolerance changes. A young single person with a steady income has a pretty high risk tolerance usually. So, you know, you got to discover what your risk tolerance is. And that's, of course, we have that free questionnaire, free risk tolerance risk questionnaire that's on our website. Only, 5 minutes, 10 minutes of your time. You can answer the questions, and it kind of gauges what your risk tolerance is, your personal risk tolerance, not your portfolio, just you, yours, it. It's at investtalk.com. Click on the Invest Talk tab, and you can fill it out. Now, if you send me your portfolio, I can put that in and we can see if that risk of that portfolio matches the risk tolerance questionnaire that you answered. And if it doesn't, you got a problem. Okay? So what money questions do you have in mind now today? Our Invest Talk listener line is 888-99-CHARP. So let's check in with our 24-hour listener line that came in the call that came in between our shows.
Hey, guys. I'm a fairly new investor and just had a few questions for you. I'm a college student with limited funds, and I just started playing around with the stock market. I just wanted to know if you had any tips or resources for beginner investors dealing with the stock market. Also, do you have any stocks that are on the cheap side that you recommend for either the short run or the long run? Finally, I'm curious if you had any industries you think would be a good idea to invest in. Thank you for your time, and have a good day.
Okay, first of all, I can't make recommendations over the air. I can only answer questions on stocks, so you'll never hear me say, buy these five stocks or these mutual funds. You won't hear that. You'll only hear an answer to the question. There's very good books out there to read, beginner books. I like, of course, my book, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor, but there's really, really good books out there. How about Beating the Street? I like that one. I like One Up on Wall Street. These are beginner books written for beginners. And you can go to our website. We have a book list there. And you can get see the rest of the books that we like. Now, some of those books are pretty complex, like The Intelligent Investor by Ben Graham. That's pretty complex. You know, there's I have books that are complex. So don't try those. Try to read the easier ones first if you're a beginner. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Accomplished veteran investor Guy Han says he's seen nothing like the new trading atmosphere in the Trump era. Is this the most challenging investing environment? What do you think? I'm going to share my thoughts. Now, who's Guy Hans? Well, he's a really very smart investor out of London, out of England. There's a link to the article on InvestTalk.com if you want, but we're going to talk about that. It's going to be one of the major talking points today. Also, I want to talk about oil. We haven't talked about oil in a while. I want to talk about oil and the range that it's stuck in and what can drive it out of that range. GDP numbers for the first quarter came in today. I'm going to talk about that as well. And something a little more interesting. Which city in the world has the most millionaire CEOs? Which cities in the world? I got the top 10. And the number one is not New York or San Francisco, if you were thinking of New York City or San Francisco. And I'm talking about the world. These are big cities, not tiny. Most of the, many, a good person, let's see how many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the top 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 6 of the top 10 are in the U.S. Interesting. That's what we're going to talk about when we get to it. The market was down today. Dow down 41. The NASDAQ down 1. The S&P down 5. So the week was kind of a boring nothing week except for 2 days of very large move upward. Now, I'm looking at a chart. You know, we do charting here at KPP Financial, and that doesn't tell us what to buy. Fundamentals tell you what to buy. The fundamentals of the company, the fundamentals of the economy, that tells you what to buy. The charting tells you when and gives you hints as to weakness or strength in the marketplace and different sectors, weaknesses and strengths, and where there's slowdowns. And if you're a chartist, that's what they call people that read charts. I don't live and buy charts because I tell you, and I will repeatedly tell you, reading a chart is an art, not a science, so it just tends to be true. But what's very interesting to me is that the different indexes, the major indexes, none of them really broke their new highs except for the NASDAQ. The Dow and the S&P 500 just went up to close to their new highs and then kind of backed off. But the NASDAQ broke it and kind of continued up. Now, the NASDAQ generally leads the market. Generally is a leader of the market. But it certainly seems like it's gotten overbought to me, the NASDAQ has. But it could go a little bit longer. I always find it interesting to compare the different indexes. I think it's always interesting. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Despite an improving economy, nearly 90% of Americans surveyed by the American Psychological Association said the level of stress they are feeling about money has either remained the same or gotten worse in the last year, according to the group's annual Stress in America report. What money matter is stressing you out? Remember, we talked about this, the debt level of people. That might be the stress because it's equal or higher than the 2000 before the financial crisis. We're open. 888-99-CHART is our line.
Good afternoon. My name's David. I have been looking at the stock Haynes Company, HBI. I've been watching it and thinking about picking up a position in that. I want to know your thoughts on that. Thank you very much. Bye.
Well, I kind of like Haynes where it is now. It's been in a downtrend for last year, bottomed in February. And ever since it hit that bottom with a bad numbers for the fourth quarter of the year, every time it's hit that bottom, it's moved up. Okay, so we got higher highs and higher lows from February till just now. Had a bad day today, but, you know, down 2.5%. It's at $21.81. Why do I like it? Well, there's things I don't like about it, but the things I do like about it, sales growth is back to 11, 12, 13% quarter over quarter. Earnings are going to be $2.13 next year after being $1.97 this year. And the stock is a $21 stock. So that's a 10 PE, right? 5-year range of the PE range is 10 to 24. So it's right at the bottom. Really good return on equity of 57%. I like it in the teens, and this is 57%. What I don't like about it, they got a lot of debt. I don't like the debt they're carrying. It's an $8 billion company, and they have good cash flow, but I still don't like that much debt. So there's my negative. But, you know, as far as where to buy it, well, you know, if you get another pullback, great. But, you know, this is kind of where you buy it. I mean, it's pretty cheap. You just got to be a holder for a while. That's all. Okay. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's our number. That's our listener line number. So there's a guy, Guy Hands. There's a guy, Guy Hands. His first name is spelled G-U-Y, too. He's out of London. He's a very famous money manager, king of the British private equity, he is known as. Runs a $12 billion fund, his fund. And he is saying, man, there's just, you know, this is a very challenging time we're having. And the 35 years he's been doing this, this is one of the most challenging times. And at the same time, he also says, and I definitely would be buying America. He says that all the different things going on around the world, you know, you want to be in a safe place, and America stock market is where to be. Isn't that interesting? That's safety. In his mind, that's safety. Of course, remember, he's in London. He's looking at the world. So he's saying American stock market, American companies. Interesting article. If you ever, you know, get a chance, go to the website, our website. And they are not up there only for, 24 hours, and then they're gone. So if you want to read it, you got to get it. And it's called The Private Equity Titan Guy Hands on Investing in a Time of Trump, the Most Difficult Environment I've Ever Seen. Okay, that's the article. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to talk about oil today. We're going to talk about the new GDP report that came out this morning for the first quarter. And for a little bit more fun, we're going to talk about which major cities in the United States have the most millionaire CEOs. In other words, corporations, CEOs, millionaires. Which city? Where they live? Where are they? And number one is not in the United States. Not. InvestTalk is more real life when we get input from you. So let's hear your money questions. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278.
Hey, guys. I'm a fairly new investor, and I just wanted to get a quick opinion on what you guys thought about the Boeing company, and if it's a good time to purchase some stocks on them. Thank you for your time. I look forward to answering the question.
Everybody knows who Boeing is. They are the one of two major airplane maker for commercial airlines. And, of course, Boeing has a lot more than that. It has military aircraft as well, missiles, information systems, communication systems. So Boeing's pretty big. $111 billion company. They're going to make $9.39 in 2017. That's up 30% from 2016, by the way. And then 2018 up to $10.28. The stock is $184. So it's selling about 18-19 PE. And the range, 5-year range, is 14 to 25. So it's not cheap. So why is that? because when Trump got elected, Boeing started to shoot up because Trump's going to spend money on the defense, isn't he? And Boeing's going to be part of that. Meanwhile, their sales have actually dropped in the last three quarters. Single-digit drops, but still dropping. So that's kind of interesting. Now, are you too late to the game? And I would suspect that you might be. You might be too late. I mean, this company stock went from $125 when he, maybe $130 when Trump was elected, and today it's $184. So that's a big, huge move, and I think you're too late. You need to wait for a decent-sized pullback if you get one. If it doesn't, just move on to another stock. This BA is boring everybody. So don't see the thinking here. When you're looking at companies to buy, when something comes to your attention, if something comes to your attention, either on the news or a friend tells you, I don't care where it comes from, generally speaking, it's too late. It's too late. Why is it coming to your attention? Someone's talking about it. Why are they talking about it? Because it's doing well. Very rarely do you think about buying a stock that is in the news that got crushed. No one wants to buy those, even though those are the ones you probably should start considering, depending on why they got crushed. People always gravitate to the positive and say, this company's doing really great. I think I should buy it. Well, by the time you come to that conclusion that's in your mind, it's in everybody else's mind too. And therefore, it's already been pushed up. So try to think in terms of, let's go find some stocks. Not think in terms of, I heard of this company on the TV and I read about this one and people are talking about this. No, that's too late. That's not how you look for stocks. If you got a chance to catch the webinar this week, they gave you some ways to search for stocks. There are some very good websites out there, search engines out there. FinViz is one of my favorites. It's free. And you can search for stocks all day long using many, many different criterias. I think that's a really smart thing. Oil prices have been stuck in a range. We haven't talked about them in quite some time. From $49 to about $55. So it's just stuck there. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's actually good for a lot of economic and corporate reasons. Economic meaning for you and me, we get stabilized gasoline prices from that range. And it's not that high. It's not. For corporations, the steadier the price, the easier they are. They can manage their business, their oil business, their drilling business, and so on and so forth. So what are things that are coming up that might drive the price up or down? There's like four or five things that could have an impact on this. OPEC is having another meeting. Remember the last meeting? They said they were going to cut production. They're going to have another meeting here very shortly. And the question is, are they going to keep those production cuts? Are they going to increase them, decrease them, or just leave them the same? I think they're going to leave them alone, but that's one thing coming up. There's some reports coming out here in May about U.S. and worldwide production guidance of oil. Meaning the U.S., has been increasing our oil production for the last several years, and we're still doing it. Okay, but it would be the oil production reports coming out will give us a hint of if there's going to be a lot more oil, less oil, what. Remember, that could drive prices. These things are issues that can drive prices up or down. The rig count. There's a rig count report that comes out every month, and that counts how many oil rigs are out there drilling for oil. I mean, a couple of years ago, year before, there was hardly any rigs drilling for oil. Now there's a lot more than that. The higher the rig count, the more oil there's going to be down the line. And there are Iranian presidential elections. Why could that push oil up and down? Well, because ever since the agreement with the Trump administration, not the Trump, but the Obama administration, or Iran's oil, there's Western companies going in there. And finally, North Korea. There's something. There's a black swan event that come out from nowhere. Something could happen there. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. 888-99-CHART is my number. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Love beginner questions. Call anytime. Gary's holding in San Jose. Then maybe you.
Our podcast continues next. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial and good reason number 4 for getting together with Steve for a portfolio checkup. One of the things that people are thinking more about today is dividends. Dividends, they can be the hidden value in a stock. And the question is, how can you maximize your return in an ever-changing economic climate? Dividend-paying equities, they don't have to be stocks. Steve can talk with you more about this and help you find those dividends. And there's never a cost for Invest Talk listeners and no obligation of any kind. To schedule your one-to-one, one-hour checkup with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review. Or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Now let's get back to the podcast. Invest Talk continues on this Friday. On our Monday Invest Talk, there is a lot of focus on minimizing fees when investing, but investors should also pay attention to another harsh drag on returns, taxes. How to trim taxes, keep more of your investments. That's next time. We still have time today for your question on any money topic. Call us at 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Gary first. How are you doing, Gary, in San Jose? How's it going?
Going good.
Thanks for the call.
So, hi there. So, we own 3M in a trust.
Okay.
And we've had it for about seven years.
Wow.
And I just wanted to see what you thought, if it's overvalued, fair valued, or what you think of the stock right now.
Right now, right where it is, it's overvalued. Okay? And this is okay. How I come to that, Gary. You're looking at a stock that is $195 a share, and that means nothing as far as valuation. But it's going to make $9.57
right.
next year. So that gives it about a 20-21 PE, and the average five-year range is 14 to 24. So it's kind of on the overvalued. Does that mean you should sell it? No, I'm not suggesting that. I'm not. I'm just telling you that, right now it's overvalued. So don't expect a lot more rise in it anytime soon. Okay?
So the way I look at this, though, since it's an old holding, the dividend on it's probably 5%.
Yeah.
Correct?
Therefore, why would you sell it?
Right, and if we just get a few points every year, then you could be looking at 7 or 8, and that would be okay, right?
That's exactly right, and that's exactly what Warren Buffett did with Coca-Cola. He's had it for 20 years. His dividend is like 5%, 6%, 7%, 8%. Now if you bought Coca-Cola, I'm not recommending this. I'm just pointing this out, and don't get me in trouble. Coca-Cola's dividend is 3.4%. Well, that's great for new buyers, but if you bought it 20 years ago like he did, you're making a huge return.
Yeah.
I think 3M is
a good
one.
So if I were to sell it,
go ahead.
If I were to sell it, I'd lose the dividend and I'd have huge capital gains, right?
Correct.
All right. Thank you. Answered my question.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate the call. Yeah, those are the things. That's why you have core holdings, people. You've heard me talk about core holdings, and 3M is a perfect core holding. It's a $117 billion company. And that's why you hear me say, gee, the best time to buy core holdings is in recession. Because your outlook for core holdings should be in the decades. I've had it for 20 years. I've had it for 10 years. Not years, not months, multi-years. That's what core holdings are all about. and you want to buy them when they're cheap, because when you buy them when they're cheap, the dividend yield is usually high, and they're a big blue chip stock company. They tend to keep paying their dividends and raising their dividends even in recessions. So Gary has a perfect example of how that works. 7 years for 3M. Okay, good idea. 2.4% yield today, 7 years ago, is a lot cheaper. His yield is double that. It's his dividend yield. And he's now having a huge capital gain. So do you want to sell it? No, because then you're going to have to pay capital gains tax. I don't want to do that. Even though it's overpriced. So relax. Put it in a drawer. Go to sleep. Wake up 10 years later, and you'll be a lot happier. Let's go to Chase in New York. How you doing, Chase?
Hey, great, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Great show, as always.
Thank you.
First question, is the webcast from Wednesday available?
Not yet.
After the fact, or no?
It will be. It will be, yes, Chase. It's not out there yet. It usually takes a week or so, maybe two. And then all you have to do is be an InvestTalk Insider, and all that. All you do that is just sign up and put your email address in, and you can get it. You get it all those webinars for free.
Okay, perfect. Second question. I wanted to ask you about an ADR. I recently purchased it, and I just wanted to get your opinion. It's SIFY Technologies.
Is that S-I-F-Y?
Yes.
SIFY Technologies. It's out of India.
Yep.
Okay, it is a $160 million stock. That's a market cap. So when I say it's out of India and it's a $160 million stock, your first reaction, Chase, should be say, yeah, I know it's a high-risk stock. Right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So everybody else's reaction.
No, I know that.
Okay. Everybody else's reaction should be the same. It is an Indian provider of corporate network and data, internet access, and online portal services in India. So everybody, this is a 180 or 360 degree turn from 3M, which we talk about being a core holding. This would not be a core holding. This is a pure growth speculating stock. That's what this is. And it's growing very fast. It grew 32% in the last quarter, grew its sales. Before that was 17%. Before that was 17% again, then 15%. So it's increasing its sales growth. I'm not sure why. It looks like they say they're paying a small dividend. I don't know why they would do that on a little company like this.
The last earnings report that the board, I guess, is talking about increasing the dividend to something like 12% as well, but that was just in talks, so I'm not really sure. But I just knew they're growing very fast, and with like the initiatives with the Indian government, like Digital India and stuff like that, it's kind of a homegrown name. I know there's a lot of players in the space, but I just thought maybe, you know, since they're consistently growing the earnings for like the last five quarters, and the price has been pretty much going down, now it's just going kind of sideways. But I didn't know.
Yeah, so this is a very volatile stock. It's a penny stock, 90 cents. This is something you're going to roll the dice, and if you lose all your money, you're not to worry about it. So don't put too much money in it. You might be able to get it. Yeah. You're swinging for the fences on this, and there's nothing wrong with that with a little bit of your money. You can do it. But just be prepared. It does make money, which is always a positive for me. It's going to make 7 cents this year, 7 cents a share. So, and it's a 90-cent stock. So, you know, it's not overpriced, even with that growth.
Right.
So it's okay to take a risk with this, Chase. It's okay. Just make sure it's with a little bit of your money, not a lot of your money. Little bit.
Okay? Yes, sir.
Thanks, Chase.
Thanks.
Appreciate the call. And that was SIFY. I don't like penny stocks, but this company makes money, has been making money for a number of years in a row. So, and its sales are growing. So even though it's only 90 cents a share, you could give it a shot because it makes money. You know how I feel about companies that don't make money, right? Don't buy them. GDP number came out today. This is for the first quarter of this year, and it was 0.7%. increase. The expectation was around 1%. And both those numbers, 0.7, 1%, those are terrible numbers. The two quarters before were what? 2.5% and 3%? The two quarters before that? So this was a terrible number, really. Why? Shrinking a shrinking increase in consumer spending. It's now shrinking increase. In other words, it's still increased, but much less. Government reduced spending, reduction of spending, and corporations reducing their inventory, cutting back their inventory. That hurts GDP. Increasing inventory helps it. And finally, one of the reasons why this was a consumer spending weak quarter, because we had an unusually warm February. So gas and heating oil was, which is a pretty big item for consumer spending in February, especially if you live in a cold climate, really wasn't necessary. Not too much of that. So those are the reasons. So the experts, quote-unquote experts, think the poor showing for the first quarter is just an aberration, and second quarter is going to be a lot better. Well, it can't be a lot worse unless we're going into a recession. And do you remember what a recession is, everybody? The recession is two quarters in a row of shrinkage. So you got to have two or three quarters of shrinkage before you can say we're in a recession. So the GDP number looked pretty bad. It was out this morning. And that might have weighed on the market, because the market wasn't very good either today. Who knows? If you have a 401k at work, you should know about the active 401k program we have. It ranks your current 401k investments and options within your employer's specific plan. And based on current trends and long-term performance, you know, that's what the 401k, active 401k program does. It builds a portfolio. That's what it does. It builds a portfolio for you based on your choices and based on your personal risk tolerance. As I talk about almost every show, risk tolerance is very important. How much risk you want to take, you answer the questions, and the 401k, active 401k, determines what kind of risk you want to be, looks at the choices you have, and keeps you in that kind of range of the risk that you want to be in. Okay? And each quarter, you'll get an update as to what you should do. So it tells you what you should be buying initially, and then every quarter updates it, making recommendations. All you do is log into your retirement plan website to make the changes. It's that simple. You're always in control. So does that sound something like might be useful for you? You can see more about it on investtalk.com. Just click on the Investments tab.
Steve sets aside time each month to talk with our listeners on a one-to-one basis, offering a second opinion about their retirement portfolio, offering some ideas and solutions. It can be done on Skype or telephone. If you'd like to reserve your own hour with Steve, just go to investtalk.com, click on the InvestTalk tab, and then Portfolio Review.
Yes, Steve, I really appreciate your show, and I listen on 1220. I went to cash several months ago and now have the interesting challenge of knowing how and when to re-enter the market. Should it be sooner rather than later? I'd be interested in hearing how you plan to put cash back into the market. Once again, I appreciate your show and look forward to hearing your answer. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. How we're going to put our cash, we have cash, we're going to be patient, and we're going to wait for a market pullback. Usually you get one sometime between May and October. Very common to get a decent pullback in that period. So we're going to wait for it. We're not going to be pushing it. I'll tell you this, I'm not buying stocks. We bought one last week. Oh, actually, we bought one earlier this week. I'm not buying it, but I have more cash than I normally have. We produce cash. And for the future, I would strongly suggest you never get out 100%, ever. Never, ever. Why? Because you can't time in and out of the market. It's just impossible. All you can do is hedge your bets, and the market is a little ahead of itself, or you feel the market is overvalued, or you think we're moving into an economic period of slowdown. But you and I and anybody else cannot guess what's going to happen. You can only look at the statistics, the economic data available, and make educated guess. But you never know what direction the market will take. You can just make educated guesses, and you can hedge your bets. That's okay. but don't ever get out 100%. It just doesn't work out. It's never worked out. It's never paid off for anybody. Okay? You should always have some core holdings that you never give up. Okay? Almost never give up, at least. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Here's an interesting term you should know. What is an index? What is an index? I mean, everybody thinks they know. An index is an indicator or measure of something. And in finance, it typically refers to a statistical measure of change in the securities market. In the case of financial markets, stock and bond market indices consist of a hypothetical portfolio of securities representing a particular market or segment. Now, you cannot invest directly in an index. Did you know that? Well, you can't. You can invest in the S&P 500 ETF that tracks an index, but you can't invest directly into the index. So you can mirror it using ETFs and mutual funds. You can mirror the index. But the index is just, and one of the reasons why it's so difficult for money managers to even to beat their index, they can mirror it exactly the same. That same S&P 500. And if you hold that mutual fund or that ETF that does exactly what the S&P 500, you still underperform the S&P 500. Because there's a fee. There's a cost. There's an annual fee. Someone's got to pay it. Someone's got to pay the cost to produce that index, that ETF, that mutual fund. Not free. That's why. So that's why indexes can generally beat most mutual funds. And did you know that indexes are not stagnant? Not stagnant at all. The Dow 30, 30 biggest companies. Do you realize that started with, I think, four or five railroad companies in the late 1800s? There's only four, not 30. Yeah, so, and every so often they replace one, take one out. S&P 500 happens more frequently, that index. Changes in the index. They take out the weak companies and they put in the stronger companies. Basically what they do. That's how they do it. You listen to Invest Talk. I mean, how many railroads, for instance, are in the Dow now? You help us keep it real, everybody. You really do. And I really want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is Dennis in San Jose, California. I'm calling about Dollar Tree. It's been doing some big changes recently. And I wonder if I should get out of it or buy more. It looks like it's or put a stop in, at least. Thank you.
Okay, the Dollar Tree, DLTR. Headquarters out of Chesapeake, Virginia, operates 13,851 discount variety stores in 48 states. Did you realize it was that big? It's a $20 billion company. They had 13,800 stores, Dollar Tree stores. This company has always made money for as far back as I can see. It's going to make $4.49 this year. That's up 21%. It's going to make another 12% more next year, $5.05. And it's an $82 stock. So what does that give it as far as a P/E ratio? What, 16, 17, somewhere in there? Five-year range is 15 to 35. So, and an 18% return on equity. It does not have a tremendous amount of debt. Has some, but not a lot. Very strong cash flow. Sales growth is still growing, but growing less. And that's probably why you had some pullback from $98 all the way down to around $74 this year. Now it's at 82, so it's kind of trading in range, and it looks like the low is 74 and the high is around 90. It's going to be kind of in that range, I think. I wouldn't sell it because I think eventually it will break out of that range. There's no fundamental reason to sell it and no technical reason to sell it. So I wouldn't sell it. I'd hold on to it. Numbers look good still. So, DLTR, Dollar Tree, everybody. 888-99-CHART is our number. You can call anytime you want. And if we're not live, which we are right now, you can always leave your question and we'll get to it the next show. So, which city in the world has the most millionaire CEOs? So obviously, these would be bigger companies, right? Big companies. It's not New York. It's not San Francisco. It's not even the United States. It's London. London has the most. 2.9% of London's population are millionaire CEOs or higher. More than millionaire. More than million. Number two is San Francisco. And number three is New York. So they're about 2%. After that, number four. I always like these lists. Singapore. Number five is L.A. Number six is Houston. Number seven is Boston. Number eight is Paris. Number nine is Chicago. And number 10 is Washington. What is that? Seven. Seven out of the top 10 are in the U.S. You only have London, Singapore, and Paris out of the top 10. You know, our economy, I don't know if everybody realizes how strong and how big our economy is. This kind of gives a hint, millionaire CEOs, how big our economy is, because 7 out of 10, 70% of them out of this little survey are in the United States. Well, that's because we have a lot of companies here that are big. So, you know, I do think people don't understand that, you know, we spend more money in our military than all, I read this today, than all other countries combined in the world. Now, I read that, so I can't verify it, but that also kind of hints out, even if it's not true, it does kind of hint out how big our economy is. Now, it's huge. Now, China's economy is as big as ours as far as size, but when you go dig a little deeper and you look at, well, how much per person does in wealth is their economy, and they were tiny fraction of ours. So, you know, you always want to put it in perspective when you hear people talking about, you know, how weak the United States is, or it's really not doing as well as it used to. That's not true. Our hour's gone, everybody. I hope it's been a good use of your time. I really do. I thank you. I want to thank you for listening and joining in today. You can reach me directly with a question or a comment if you want. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Contact Steve button. That's the email that comes directly to me. I will get back to you. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for being with us today. We'll do it again next week.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.